Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Good morning. Welcome to VFN Radio. My name is John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Doing very well, very well.
Fantastic. I forgot to mention earlier that I'll be filling in today for Greg Lancaster. We're going to be having a fabulous time here today. We've got so much to talk about and so much to share, but I do want to give out some shout out, guys. You know, I give shout outs all the time. And you know what? I haven't given a shout out to my wife. I want to give a shout out to my beautiful wife today, Teresa, and say, hey, I know you're listening. Love you, girl. she's holding it down out there today.
Holding down the fort.
Holding down the fort. Also, I want to give a shout out to Joanne out there in up New York in Mayo Pack. Trees falling, man, oh, all over the place. But she's doing well. She's persevering. In fact, I'm going to share a testimony that she gave me not too long ago. You know, through this, it's really great. Craig, thank you for all your prayers, man. You're awesome. Chris, that's a great guy, man.
Yes,
also,
he is.
Also, Peter, wanted to give you a quick shout out. You know, I'm looking for that shirt. I don't know if you gave it to Pastor Chris. Pat, did you get one?
A shirt?
Did you get one?
I don't know.
I was told, Peter, you need to get. I don't know.
I need to put my order in. I think.
You get your order in. I was told I had one, but I haven't. Don't send me a Saints shirt either, Chris, all right? He's awfully quiet over there, Pat. He's awfully quiet.
He's pondering.
He's pondering. Don't ponder too long. Steve. Pastor Steve. VFN Pittsburgh. Oh, my goodness.
What's up, buddy? You told me you spoke to
him, didn't you?
What's that?
You told me you spoke to him, didn't you?
Yeah, I talked to him earlier this week, man. He's doing good. It's starting to get a little chilly.
A little chilly?
Yeah. He was right before the storm came through.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm looking forward to catching up with you, man. There's so much going on, but I tell you, God is so good. I also want to welcome all of our new VFN Radio listeners. Oh, my goodness. Hello to Courtney and Greg and Martin and Leah and Isaiah and Esther and Karen and Brenda and Steve and, oh, my goodness, Scott and Edmund. There's just so many. I tell you what, we're just so greatly encouraged by your posts and your comments and sharing on Facebook. I'll tell you, this is just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful opportunity that we have together to join this awesome conversation. I do want to talk about this morning. You know, guys, we're just 4 days away. 4 days away from the election.
You believe that? Oh, my goodness. It's coming. It's coming.
I mean, we are like here. You think about it.
Mm-hmm.
All of the money being spent. And we talked about in a previous program that, you know, there was about $2 billion approximately raised on both sides.
Mm-hmm. $2 billion with a B.
B with a B.
Wow.
But what I saw out there as well, that's what they raised. But the other money in super PACs, I believe it's going to be close to $6 billion.
Oh, doesn't include that?
No, that's their own campaign. That's their own fundraising.
Amazing.
And so you're looking at, you know, a campaign goes full swing almost, you know, some people 3-4 years in the making.
Right.
So, you know, you know, for at least the last year, it's been grueling, you know, especially, you know, if you're running in primaries and you have other contestants, I mean, like candidates, I mean, it's a big deal. So we're getting down to 4 days. 4 days away.
Mm.
So it's important. I want to encourage everyone. You got to vote. You know, you may be seeing a lot of political commercials nonstop right now.
All right.
You may be getting a little tired and growing weary. But there's, you know, you're not alone in growing weary about getting some of these commercials. There's a young lady, little girl here, who's a little weary herself. I want you to listen to this.
Hard to turn on the TV and say anything but a plethora of political ads in between your favorite shows. They're also all over the radio.
It's impossible not to see them. And if you're getting tired of it, you're not alone. Fox 32 Endeavor's Tammy B. Hill shows us how the constant campaigning has pushed a four-year-old from Fort Collins to tears.
This is what it means to four-year-old Abigail.
Not a high one.
To be in a swing state.
President Obama.
Mitt Romney.
But it's the constant bickering.
Under Obama's plan.
Finger pointing.
Mitt Romney turned his back.
And hostility of this year's election that contributed to the little girl's emotional meltdown Monday.
Just because I'm tired of Barack Obama and Mitt Romney.
That's why you're crying? Oh, it'll be over soon, Abby.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay? The election will be over soon, okay?
She is bawling.
Okay.
Elizabeth wanted to share the Tiny Tot's tears with friends, so she uploaded the video to Facebook. Friends.
Isn't that something?
Oh, my goodness.
Little Abby. She said, I'm tired of hearing Barack Obama. What is she, not even 2 years, maybe 2 years old?
Oh, Barack Obama. Tiny, yeah.
And she starts crying, and oh, my goodness, she's seen enough of these commercials. She's seen enough of these campaigns, these ads. Oh, my goodness. Well, I tell you, don't start crying. Don't start crying yet. You know, don't cry, because we're 4 days, 4 days left, and it's really important that if you haven't, mm-hmm. Decided,
right?
It's time to decide.
I would think so.
You have 4 days to go.
That's right.
But what you want to do is, as we've been saying for quite some time now, is that you want to get educated. You want to get informed. You want to know what these candidates' values are. And I mean, right now their values are everywhere. But you want to know what your values are first. And you want to vote your values. I mean, you can even get a sample ballot. I know that we've had several segments and highlights regarding the election. Feel free, go to the torch. You can find the torch at VFNTV.com and go to the VFN torch. And all you have to do in the search bar to the right is type in the word vote. And you'll see all different types of highlights, you know, regarding voting. One of them is Dr. King helps us vote values. And that's a really nice segment. Because it really just tells you just a lot about, you know, this is about voting our godly values. If you're a believer, mm-hmm. you know, you want to vote values the way that God would want us to vote.
That's right.
And we talk about Israel. Right. We talk about, you know, life. Mm-hmm. It's very important. With 50 million children that have been murdered mm-hmm. since Roe versus Wade.
Right.
Which calculates to almost the population of 25 states. If you take the least populated state and you just kind of keep adding them all the way up, you get 25 states in this country.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge.
That's amazing.
And it's the shedding of innocent blood. Mm. And so you want to vote for candidates that represent the values that are important to you as a believer.
That's right.
You know, it's not about parties. You know, and I often say God's not left wing or right wing. He's for the whole bird. You know,
that's
it's
right.
Like this is... No political party has an ownership on God.
Nope.
None at all.
That's right.
You know, he has come to take over. You know what I'm
that's
saying?
His I like kingdom.
That's right. That's right. I like what Tony Evans says. He says, Jesus doesn't ride the backs of donkeys or elephants. You know what I mean? It's like, come on now.
That's right.
This is Jesus. So you want, that's a segment called Dr. King Helps Us to Vote Our Values. There's another one that's is entitled Check with Jesus Before You Vote. I think that's important. You
know yes, I mean? Definitely.
I think that's important. You want to spend some time abiding. You really just want to listen. This election, they're saying that this next president, besides all the many issues that right now are pressing in our country, he's going to have the opportunity to probably put two more Supreme Court justices in the next 4 years to appoint to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. That's an important. Very important thing to do.
Absolutely.
When you think about that, these Supreme Court justices, once they're appointed for life. They are never removed at all. And so right now it's important to have Supreme Court justices that don't interpret the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just, you know, twist it, if you will.
Right, right.
or make it, you know, fit to what, you know, they would want it to fit.
Mm-hmm.
But they defend the Constitution, right. The oath that they actually take, you know.
Right, they actually take it.
No,
right.
They have to defend it. Defend it. Don't recommend that another country in the Middle East uses another constitution, okay, which one of these Supreme Court justices did. How do you recommend another constitution to a new forming government when you're called to defend the Constitution of the United States?
That's right.
You know, and it's a beautiful document, but it does protect some very, very important rights. And you know, I thank God that the founding fathers, you know, many of them knew God and time with the Lord, they were able to craft this by the providence of God.
Yeah.
You know, the very First Amendment gives us the freedom, you know, of speech. Hello?
That's right.
Right? The freedom of speech. It allows us to preach the gospel. And it protects us from any intervening. It allows the church to gather, if you will.
Right.
You know, that's so, so important. And then, of course, you know, all the other amendments as well. So, you know, get educated, get informed, you know, be a valued voter. Don't vote your pocketbook. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's so important because, you know, when times get tough, you don't want to run to your pocketbook. You don't want to vote simply on the economy. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. And so we got to do the right thing before God. And when we do the right thing before God.
That's right.
I tell you what, God has a way of working things out.
Yes, he does.
You know, but we don't want to fall into the strategies of man and those type of things. So vote, vote, vote. There's so much, you know, we'll probably talk about this more in today's program. But I want to encourage you, 4 days left. Four days left. The country is at, listen, if you don't vote in this election, we don't even know the way things are going and what God is. I mean, we have, you know, it's like, we don't know if America's going to stand.
You're gonna stand, right.
We really don't know. We know that the kingdom of God will. We definitely know. But my goodness, God loves America. You know, he loves many people.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Jonah.
Yeah.
He loves, you know, he loves a lost people, but my goodness, let us exercise, let us stand in the gap and vote for the right values that best represent the Lord.
Amen.
Well, you know, in God's news behind the news, I do want to give a quick update, guys. I know that we've been talking about Hurricane Sandy and the superstorm, and you know, things are developing and changing every single day. And I'm getting new feedback every day, obviously, because I'm here in the Northeast in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to share with our VFN Radio listeners, because we have VFN Radio listeners all across the country and even the world.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to those in the Philippines, by the way.
And cool.
Oh, yeah. And out there in Puerto Rico, they're all over the place, and especially all over the country. But
right.
In particular, we do have quite a bit of VFN Radio listeners that tune in from the Bronx and Brooklyn, all throughout New Jersey. And so we do want to...
Okinawa,
Japan. Yep. I mean, I really can't keep up with it all.
I know, right?
Popping up every day. But we do want to be able to speak to you and to give you some information. And maybe you may have loved ones in the area and in the region. And you may, this is good because you'll know how to pray. And then you also know how to get this information out to those people that need the help. Now, I know, Pat, you shared a number with us from Red Cross yesterday. If you're able to find that, we'll make it available on this program. But as well, you want to be able to get in contact with FEMA. FEMA's going to be offering assistance and help, which is very important. We still have over 2 million people without power.
That's right. I've got it right here. Actually, it's the Red Cross. You can actually text this number, 90999, if you want to be able to give towards what they're doing there.
What's that number again?
It's 90999. You text the words Red Cross.
Wow, it's very important. Also, there's other organizations like Operation Blessing with the 700 Club. We know them firsthand. We've worked with them and Jody. We know Jody Harrington, who's not Jody Harrington when she's got married, but but Jody's great. In fact, I saw her on TV the other day. And I think Samaritan Purse as well is also doing some effort.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of great Bible believing and Jesus believing. Organizations that are coming to bring not only help in terms of resources, but they're coming to bring the hope, the gospel. And that's what we're doing here, you know, in VFN New Jersey, VFN Bronx, and, mm-hmm. and Patterson and New York, and all the churches in VFN Network in this area. We're ministering to need. In fact, I know someone last night that was able to get a little bit of gas that was stored. They were able to get an inverter because they have no power in their home.
Wow.
And they were able to walk away with a crank lantern.
Oh, cool.
And they were so grateful and so happy. But you know what? We had the resources. So, you know, go ahead and bless them and let
That's
them
awesome.
Have what they need. Isn't that cool?
That is cool, man.
So Red Cross, FEMA, and we want to really be out there and continue to pray. You know, new things are happening every day. You know how it is. You get out of different phases, how these storms, you know, now they're trying to recover and kind of mm-hmm. bring things back. But, you know, you have so many people right. that are affected in such a small area, it really becomes very, you know, a trying time right now.
Mm-hmm.
Things are surfacing. And one of the things that's surfacing in a way to pray is that there's the gas is scarce right now. I mean, it is very, very, very scarce. You can't find it anywhere.
Oh, my goodness.
You can't find it. And so you have all these people that are trying to get back to work. They've been out of work for 3 days, and they're trying to add some normalcy to their life. They're trying to get some fuel for their generators. You know, it's dropping down to in the 40s. And believe it or not, we may be expecting a snowstorm, at least definitely some rain next week, but possibly a snowstorm on top.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we you know,
their hearts.
You got a lot of people out there that are just kind of hurt right now. It's cold.
Mm, yeah.
It's cold and no power, no anything. So, but I want to share this video with you from CBS News, just to give you a perspective on really what is happening on the ground.
And commuters across the area are still finding it very hard to get gasoline. There are long lines and angry drivers at the few stations that are actually open. One man in Queens, New York, was charged with waving a gun at another driver in a gas line. Ben Tracy's search has paid off in Manahawkin, New Jersey. Ben, good morning.
Waving a gun at a gas line.
Mm.
You know, these are the type of tempers, this is the type of stuff that flares up. And I want to caution, if you're listening, you have family members, you have friends, You have to be patient in a time like this. It's not that serious. You know, you can be stressful and know things can get really up, you know, tense and uptight, but you don't want to pull out a gun.
No.
You know, especially in this state, since it's illegal to carry a gun.
That's right.
You shouldn't have a gun out because you don't have carry permits in this state.
Right. You are going to jail no matter what.
Yeah. This is the three, New Jersey, I believe, New York and California have the strictest gun laws in the entire country. So you don't want to take that out right now. Okay, listen up.
Good morning, Nora. You know, with more than 50% of the gas stations in New Jersey closed, we wanted to find gas stations that actually had gas, and we found it here in Manahawkin. As you can see, the secret is out, though. We've talked to people who have come from 30, 40, 50 miles away because they're finding it very tough to fill up.
It took me 2 hours to get here from Hoboken. I got no gas.
Stop it!
Look at that! It's a jumping!
Gas is being rationed in parts of New York and New Jersey. The pumps are running on empty, and so is patience.
I'm yelling!
At this station in New Jersey, frustration nearly became a fist fight.
Go.
The police are being called in.
They can't do that.
To literally keep anxious drivers in line as they try to cut each other off.
No.
AAA says 60% of the gas stations in New Jersey and 70% of those on New York's Long Island are now closed.
All day, man, no gas. It's like, what are we going to do?
In fact, there is no fuel shortage. There's a shortage of electricity. Without power, there's no way to get the gas into your tank, and some stations are shut down entirely.
In order to pump the gas, you need electricity. In order to run the cash register or to run the credit card system from the pump to the credit card company, you need electricity.
John Hoffmeister is founder and CEO of Citizens for Affordable Energy and former president of Shell Oil. He says electricity issues are also squeezing the delivery for fuel to stations that are open. 13 of the region's 34 fuel terminals are without power.
If you don't have electricity at the depots, which fill the delivery trucks, or if you don't have electricity at a retail station, then you really can't sell gasoline to the public.
I need more gas in my can here.
Jimmy and Barbara Dwyer drove 30 miles to find gas in Manahawkin, New Jersey, to run their generator at home.
How much of a lifeline is this gasoline for you right now?
Well, when you have no power and it's getting really cold now, so you need power, right? We have no lights, we have no heat.
And that desperation is why there is so much panic buying at the pump.
This is like pre-apocalyptic scenarios, you know what I mean? You know, with this gas, it's as much important as food and water, you know, to people. And it's a dogfight out here.
So why do they have gas here when other people are so short? Well, the short answer is power. Gas stations have power, and people around here, for the most part, have power, so they don't have those generator issues. However, take a look at what's going on in Secaucus, New Jersey. People are lined up for miles waiting to get gas. If any of those people want to come to Manahawkin, however, it's a long drive. It's 97.
Yes. Secaucus, you know, that right down in that area, that's kind of our neck of the woods down there. That's about close to the Meadowlands where the Giants and the Jets play. And that is kind of one of the last cities as you're where you're going towards into Manhattan through, you can go through the Lincoln Tunnel, the Holland Tunnel, but as you're going down that way. So it's kind of narrow. That scene is just kind of mind-blowing because on a busy day going home, if you're driving during rush hour traffic, you can get stuck there for an hour and a half. When I first got here, it took me an hour and a half to get home, much less all those people trying to get gas. Just last night, I went out with my son. We're fully gassed up, you know, kind of took the word of wisdom that God shared with us, you know, some time ago.
Right.
And I just wanted to see what was happening at the gas station, that one of the only ones that was open in my town, actually down the road. And I wanted to see at 9 o'clock if they were open, this gas station. I mean, nothing really closes early here. Everything's late, 12, you know, midnight, whatever, running. And sure enough, by 9 o'clock, completely shut down. There's no gas. There's just no gas. So this is an issue. What we do want to do is share some information, because right now on Twitter, if you're in the tri-state area, or particularly in New Jersey, you can type in hashtag NJGas or hashtag NJOpen. And by doing that in Twitter, you'll find tweets that will tell you of the latest gas openings, availabilities, and what's happening.
That's NJ for New Jersey.
Say that one more time.
You said NJ like New Jersey?
Correct. Okay. NJ as in New Jersey, right. And hashtag, which is basically the number sign on a phone, or the number sign, hashtag NJ gas, and or hashtag NJ open, and you should be able to find some places. But you really want to prepare. I mean, right now, you think about it, I mean, people right now don't have the gas. School's being canceled. I'm believing that there's no way kids will be able to get back to school even Monday. Because they're saying that now it'll be 5 to 10 days before they can actually have gas. Wow. Now, once they have gas, you have all of these people that are going to be lining up for miles. My wife let me know on the way into the office that she passed almost 20 gas stations that were closed. 20.
Wow.
And so and they're getting testy. Place or employment where she's at. I mean, people are coming in just the wreck of nerves. This is the time to pray, but not only to pray, but let me tell you, if you're listening today, you know, you can trust in God. You can trust in the Lord. You know, I remember, Pat, when we went through a hurricane and I was like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? A lot of times when there's debris and there's, you know, shingles are ripped off, there's nails all over the place.
Everywhere.
So, you know, I got out on the road, started driving, check on some family members. By the time I got home, I had a flat tire.
Yeah.
So here I am at a flat tire.
Yeah.
And you know, you're not going to go to the local store because they have no power. So how do I fix this?
Right.
You know, what do I do?
Yeah.
So I remember we were just sitting down abiding as a family, and it wasn't more than 5 minutes as we're just, you know, sharing the word.
Yeah.
One of my family members rolls in and just happens to have a tire repair kit and a air pump.
Oh, wow.
And I was able to fix that. It was just like God was just so blessing. And just, let me tell you something, just focus on the Lord.
Yep.
You let the main thing be the main thing, which is a relationship with God, and abide. Let me tell you something, God will take care of the rest. You know, seek ye first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Let me tell you, cheer up. God's word says that he is an ever-present help in the time of trouble.
That's right.
So he's there. We can lean on him. Psalm 16 says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, and apart from you, I have no good thing. Let me tell you something. I love that scripture. What? Listen, if it doesn't come through the hand of God, you know, God's providence, there is nothing good about it. Mm-mm. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. Let me tell you something. God is here for you. He wants to bless you. This is the time more than ever to draw mm-hmm. close to him.
Right. Amen. Absolutely. I mean, this is no time like the present. Start reaching out to God. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And so God is near. Right. God is near. And I want to encourage everyone to just to continue to pray. And we're going to continue to minister and help those that can be helped. Mm-hmm. But, you know, God told us about, you know, God, mm-hmm. God shared with us in the perfect storm. If you haven't listened to Prudent Preparation, you got to listen to Prudent Preparation. Because this is really just the beginning of more to come.
That's right.
And we just really want to be at a place where, for the church, we want to be humble. We want to be at the place that we can cry out to God and say, mm-hmm. you know, if it's my people who are called by my name, will humble themselves. Mm-hmm. We got to get this thing right. Right. We got to get this right. And don't forget about the Elijah storm. You can also access that. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. Go to VFNTV.com, and you can access the Elijah storm.
Amen.
Be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared. You know, in lieu, you know, this is going on. And I don't know if you saw this, and you may not be aware of this, Pat or Chris, but right now New York is just crawling back itself. They're trying to get the subways back open. They're trying to get the buses rolling. Mm-hmm. You should have seen the lines. I don't know if you've seen the lines. It was circling city blocks. Now, city blocks in New York are like huge.
Oh, right.
City blocks because they have free bus services now.
Oh, really?
Free bus services. It's limited. Mm-hmm. You know, the MTA that does all the transit in New York, they're losing $18 million a day.
Oh, wow. A day.
A day.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's about 5.8 million commuters in New York that use all the transit. And so some subways are open, some are not. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of it is dangerous because there's a lot of people looting and just all, you know, it's just not a right time to be out there. If you don't need to be out in the roads, and you don't need to be there right mm-hmm. now because this is not a good time. But with all of that going on in New York, many people are upset right now because mm-hmm. Mayor Bloomberg, Mayor Bloomberg, Pat,
right.
for some reason, Chris, Mayor Bloomberg, the mayor of New York City mm-hmm. feels that it is still appropriate mm-hmm. to have the New York Marathon this Sunday in New York City. Now, we just told the president wow. of the United States, don't come to New York.
Right.
It's okay that you visit New Jersey
right.
because we can't handle the traffic. You know, we'll consider that your visit to the region.
Yeah.
Don't come into the city because we've got to shut things down. You still, mm-hmm. I mean, they're hoping and planning to get power back, okay? But you're looking at, you know, this is a race that starts at the Verrazano Bridge and ends in Central Park. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're reporting that the mayor is banking on the restoration of electricity on several blocks from Manhattan below 34th Street. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is below Midtown. Midtown is like 42nd Street and above, you know, where Times Square and all that stuff is at, mm-hmm. And all the lights and Broadway. Mm-hmm. And they're banking. Listen, they're banking on getting the electricity back. Mm-hmm. And he's believing that that will free up some of the police officers that are down in lower, you know, Manhattan, down in financial district and not in that area. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You know, there's people in Brooklyn that are without power. Mm-hmm. There are people in Staten Island who are saying, hey, don't forget us. Don't forget us. They're even saying that they feel like they're the Katrina of this whole thing, that, you know, all the attentions go to Manhattan and New mm-hmm. Jersey. But Staten Island, they suffer tremendous loss.
Right.
And listen to this. Generators. Mm-hmm. Generators are powering up the tent to handle the New York City Marathon. It's like, why would, you know, so people are furious that these resources, police officers, are being wasted, mm-hmm. volunteers to do a race. It's not the right time. Mm-mm. You got people that are hurting that have no power when using a power for a race. You should see these generators. They look like buses. They're huge. And how many homes can be powered? How many, you know, what community shelter could be powered or a makeshift place for people that don't have power in these areas, like, you know, the boroughs in Brooklyn or in Staten Island, can get resources? Not to mention,
mm-hmm.
you're also talking about the police officers putting a strain. Right. They're waving guns and gas lines right now. I think we need police presence.
You think?
You know, and this is something, but this is the thing here.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the time to show an image, a perceived image to the world that, you know, hey, this New York is strong and we're going to bounce back and we're, you know, we're not only are we going to have, you know, recover from this hurricane, but we're going to do a marathon in the midst of. Listen. The strategies of men, this is not, we need to be humble in a time like this. We need to just, you know, depend upon God and we need to cry out to God. You know, as bad as this was, it could have been a whole lot worse and we could have seen even more loss of life. Mm-hmm. This is not the time to try to flex any kind of, you know, perceived strength at a time like
right,
this.
Exactly.
And not, we've got men and women, you think about it, these police officers, you know, how they feel that they have to be guarding and being, you know, taking care of a race when they know that there's loved ones, there are friends and, you know, the community at large that they say they wanted to protect and serve.
Right.
They can't even get to them right now to do, you know, the whole reason they want to become police officers.
That's right.
So, you know, it matters. Yeah. It matters that we have an office. It really, really, truly matters because this is what's going on right now. And we just want to see the folks that are devastated and impacted just get back on their feet so that we can continue to move forward and really not just move forward, but we're praying that awesome move of God will even begin out of all of this, that people will begin to just cry out to God. It's amazing what happens when your whole world gets shooken up there.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes you begin to wake up and realize that there's more to life. You know, when you realize I've got no home, I've got no power, it's amazing how many people are lost in the electronic age. You know, you can't fire up the internet.
What are you going to do?
When your text ain't working, when your cell phone and your iPad is all gone.
That's right.
And you actually have to look at each other and have a relationship and actually have a conversation. You know? You really begin to see that it's maybe not just the foundation of the house that's a little shaky, but maybe the foundation of the home is not right.
Right, exactly.
You know, this is the most perfect time to reevaluate the things that matter most.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's not about the job, right? It's always a tragedy. It amazes me how sobering and how quick people can come to the point they realize, oh, you know, forget about the job and, you know, all you need is your family. No. All we need right now is God.
Amen.
All we need is God. So this is a great opportunity, I believe, for the whole region to begin to turn to God in ways that it never has before. So continue to pray for the New Jersey, New York, and even Connecticut, and really all the communities along the East Coast that were affected by the storm.
Right.
And let's believe that a move of God will spread out of this. Let's believe that you know, many will come to the Lord as a result. And out of this humbling situation, that a lot of good will come out of it.
Amen.
In God.
That's right. Absolutely.
We'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered why that you did not live when they were, you know, figuring out the wheel? Why did you not live when they were figuring out how to write on papyrus when the Roman Empire was developing? You know, why did you not live when the Puritans or the Pilgrims or George Washington, you know, why did you not live when America was birthing at that time? You know, there's a reason that you were born right now. There's a reason that you were born in this generation. God has got a plan for your life. You are part of a chosen generation. And if you want to find out what God wants to do in your life, bring into pass this end time church, this end time move of God, find out more. VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University. VFNU.org. Check us out. You know, being from Detroit, you know, there's a lot of different things that go on, you know, from New Jersey or, you know, down in New Orleans.
Well, they don't have football up there, do they?
No, but they do got hockey. They got
hockey.
Check it out. Yeah, they got an app for, like, hockey rules. They got an app on like how to make ice. They got an app about, you know, the preseason, the postseason. They got an app about how to watch hockey.
Wow.
Is that designed to make you go to sleep, or what's the purpose of that?
No, that's to what to watch when you can't watch baseball.
Baseball.
Or football. You got to check it out.
But, really?
Did you know there's an app for the VFNTV.com daily radio program?
I didn't know that.
Now talk to me. That's the app I want.
Yeah, tell me. I mean, even people who do watch hockey got to check this out. Go on iTunes. Go on your Android and type in VFNTV. And you hear all the content. You hear everything that we got going on right now. The daily live VFN radio program. It's like taking VFN TV with you on the go. Check it out. VFNTV.com.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dead. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app. But they like us, and so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat. Based on what we presently see, where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just for like $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Well, I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris.
All right. What's going on?
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, my goodness. So what's going on, Pat?
You and me right now, brother.
Well, tell me about them Saints, man. Them
oh,
Saints.
Man, let's
are they
change
doing
the subject.
Anything?
No, they're
are
not.
They, are, what's going on?
Man, they
here?
Have not showed up yet this year.
This year?
This year.
Chris, did he just say this year? I mean, I am grateful that at least they won one Super Bowl in your lifetime.
Hey,
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
The fact that
I mean,
you made it to one, I'm happy.
You're done. It's celebrated.
It's over.
Yeah,
that's right.
The fact that they won, that's even a bonus.
There you go. Retire the team. It's all. It's
over. Done. I'm pulling all the stuff down. I'm getting rid of the shirts. I'm finished.
I don't think he's won one this week, actually.
Not you a know, one.
I've been monitoring. I've been
not
monitoring.
A one.
I have not seen the old faithful Krusty. I have not seen
Krust? Uh-oh. Wait a minute.
Well, you know, they say it's wrinkle-free, but I don't know about that one. I mean, the logo's all tore up. I don't know. It's all
cracked up.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we were just talking before we went on break and just about this the hurricane update and just things that were happening and progressing and how the Lord is just we need to rely and trust on the Lord during times like this, that he's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Well, I wanted to share a testimony with you from Joanne in New York that, you know, she lives in – beautiful area up there where just totally surrounded by mountains and lakes and trees and just like in kind of in the forest, if you will. But
where does she live?
Mailpack, New York.
Oh.
Just kind of way up there.
Upstate, huh?
But yeah, kind of outside the city and really beautiful place. But she sends this text and she had no power.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we want to see how everyone is doing and, you know, in the church and just say, you know, okay. And she said, I want to share the word God gave me while I abided this morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You abided this morning. Psalm 32, 6 through 8. In a time when you may be found surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with the songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
Oh,
this,
wow.
This is her abiding time. This is her spending time with the Lord.
Right.
No power, you know. I'm telling you, this is all you need, right? This is the way to make it in God.
That's it. Your Bible, your journal.
In your planning for the storm and preparation, get you some beans, get you some Winnies, get you some, you know, some
whatever, yeah.
Some ham, whatever you're going to get.
Uh-huh.
Pack yourself a journal and a Bible and make sure that
that's right.
have, you know, the real things that you need to be able to weather the storm.
Amen.
She continues to say that these few days that I have had no fear in my heart, I felt calm in my spirit, and I knew that God was assuring me that he was protecting me. Because if you were to see all the destruction that happened here on the lake, you would just shake your head. Many people lost their roofs and cars. I just lost my lamppost and a section of my fence.
Oh, wow.
God is so great.
Awesome.
I can't stop thanking and praising him. Thank you so much for your prayers. Oh, and by the way, I got my light back. Praise the Lord. It's an awesome day.
Oh, wow.
I mean, how awesome is that? Let me tell you something. God is faithful. God is faithful.
Yes, he is.
All you need is the Lord, a relationship, abiding, and yeah. God will speak to you in your current situation. I mean, Psalms 32, surely a flood. When you may be found surely in a flood of waters, they shall not come near you. And she was just totally taken care of, totally blessed. Let me tell you, the only way to make it, not only through the physical storms and the storms of life, is to have a relationship with the Lord. He loves you. He has a plan for your life.
Amen.
He loves you. He loves you. Come. Listen, you know, the VFN Radio is to the church and for those that have gone astray and those that are being drawn to the Lord. If you've been turned on to VFN Radio and you're listening in today, it's not by accident. I'm going to tell you, God has a plan for your life. He loves you.
That's right.
You just surrender to him. Give him your, and let God lead you every step of the way.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, I was thinking, I don't know if you thought about this, but I was thinking about when we met years ago together in our men's group.
Yes.
Yeah. And
this was before you went to New Jersey.
Yeah. And we've known each other for quite a while. And me, you, Chris, and a few other guys were in that group. But I was just thinking how powerful that time was together. You know, where we got together once a week,
right?
And we just really were just the church. It's kind of like a rethinking church moment, if you will, because you know, Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them."
That's right.
And so, wasn't that some pretty amazing times?
It was awesome, man. I remember. That was right at the beginning days when Steve first came to the Lord.
Oh yeah,
remember that?
Yeah, sure.
Remember those talks?
Oh yeah, Steve.
Oh yeah, love you, man. That's good.
Steve, but many others too.
I remember Jackery was with us. I'm drawing a blank.
Well, it was good. It was a good group. There's some other ones too. I mean, But we met once a week, and I mean, normally it's like, were we busy then?
Not like we are now.
But we were busy.
But yeah.
Yeah, we've always been busy. But
always, yeah.
It's amazing how we committed that no matter what, we set time aside that we valued what God was doing among us and through us, and that, you know, as a church, as men, we should get together and really be there for each other. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, it was so encouraging that no matter what was going on during that week, I knew that I was going to be with my brothers, we're going to have some Tuesday guy
night.
Time.
That's right, Tuesday night.
Yeah, we were going to get together and talk.
That's it.
You know, we were going to just not only break bread, you know, physical bread, but we broke bread. We broke the word. We shared and encouraged each other.
That's right.
And I know Chris would come straight after work and meet us there too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sure did. Yeah, I really enjoyed those times being able to meet.
Yeah.
You know.
Wasn't that awesome?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And all those cups of coffee, foo-foo creamer.
Isn't there something? we'd go to Village Inn.
We throw down some creamer.
You know? We go to the diner, and sometimes we ate, sometimes we didn't.
Right.
But I tell you, you know, the waitresses, every time we'd have they knew us by name.
Yep. They saw us
and
coming.
And they loved on us. I mean, they knew we just wanted a table. It was practically empty all the time. It was amazing. Every time we went, it was like always pretty much empty. We had a place all to ourselves, a corner at
least.
Almost
the same table every time.
Yeah. And we'd leave a really nice tip because we were just really occupying a table, have some coffee, maybe, you know, one of us would have a dessert or a meal or something. But we did a really, really nice tip. And after a while of just being consistent and being there and just, you know, my wife says by, you know, as you love each other, people will know, people will be drawn to God.
That's right.
And how many times did they come over with prayer requests? I said, can you pray for us for this? Can mm-hmm. you?
That's right.
Isn't that pretty cool?
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah. It's awesome times.
Do you think that's easy to do, to formulate those type of relationships where men can come to get together and begin to share and talk, not just about anything, but really about the things that matter in life?
Is it easy?
Yeah.
Probably not at first if you're not used to that. You know, right. Especially if you've never, you know, really opened up, you know, you've been pretty closed off for many, like most men, you know, they don't talk about their feelings
right.
or what's going on in their lives.
Well, it was very easy for you, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, piece of cake.
We couldn't get him to stop. I was like, Chris, okay, give someone else a turn, Chris.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we don't want what? We don't want to hear another thing about your truck. You don't know.
Or that dog you ran over. No.
Oh, no.
Oh man, you had to bring that one up.
I was not going to bring that up. But you did. But you
yeah,
did.
Right.
But this
no,
is.
No, but if I can interject.
Please.
I remember in the past, you know, when I first came to the Lord, you know, when we, the first men's group that I was involved in, which was, again, with you, John.
Oh, yeah.
And some other guys. That was a huge breaking point in my life, and I was not a talker.
No.
Yeah, no.
Come on.
No.
Really?
In fact, you know, if I really go back, that it was because of a men's group that I even came to the Lord.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Because I was, I was seeking at the time, you know, because God had started, you know, touching my heart at that time. And I remember, you know, Pat had invited me to come out to a men's group out.
Yeah.
Gosh,
and you came willingly.
Out of Cantonment. Kicking and screaming the whole way.
Kicking and screaming.
Yeah. And, but I remember, you know, I was actually coming to be put in a small men's group one night.
Right. To join one, right?
Right. To join one. And, when I showed up, well, actually, and I got to back up, but I hadn't fully, you know, made a commitment to the Lord, mm-hmm. but it was on my way to this men's group when it was the first time I had turned on Christian radio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that particular time, the station had a power verse of the day. And the verse was, Pat, help me out, brother.
It was in James.
Yeah, it was in James. You know, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. When he has stood the test, you know, he shall surely receive the crown of life that God, you know, gives to those who love him.
That's right.
And, wow. And, but for me to get out of my house, cause back during that time, I had a huge fear of man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, it was hard just to get out of my house every day. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, I was supposed to go to this meeting. I called Pat. I was like, hey, we're going. We're going to meet. And he's like, no, I'm already in a group. I'm not going. Like, what? Are you kidding me? You know, I've met these people twice. And you're.
I got to go by myself?
You're sending me out to this pack of wolves? What are you doing? You know, I had no idea, you know.
Right.
And, but it was, you know, it was on my way there. You know, finally, it was the Holy Spirit, you know, I know now, that just, I just couldn't stay in the house anymore. I had to go.
Right.
You know, I mean, I fought it, but then end up, you know, I just had to go. And on the way, I heard that scripture, and that was just like, that was it. I mean, God spoke to me. It was mm-hmm. like, oh, I was so excited. I was just I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get there.
Yeah.
And, and I show up, and nobody was there. You know, but that was for me.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
God had set
totally
that
set up.
Totally set me up. You know, at that moment, that for me to hear from him.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
You know, and then of course I called Pat and just, you know, it was huge. It was huge. Yeah,
that was a turning point.
That was the turning point, you know, for mm-hmm. me, was coming to that men's group and God spoke to me and I turned my life.
That's so powerful, man. It's so powerful what you're sharing. And we talk about men's group, but really it's the church. You know what I'm saying?
Right?
It just happened to be men.
Yeah.
You know, it's not men and women or children, but it just happened to be men. But it's the church where any two or three are gathered. I mean, it's God's there in the midst of them, right?
That's
mean, you got God, you got the Word,
that's right,
you got
right.
His presence. I mean, I think this qualifies as the church.
Check,
you know?
check, right.
And, you know, growing, you know, it takes authentic relationships to get through, you know, to begin to start developing that relationship in God. You know, God, you know, you're abiding with the Lord. You're hearing his voice, but you need to be discipled and you need to grow in God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing like getting together with other men or friends, because ladies can do it as well, mm-hmm. and, you know, people are meeting all the time together, but that you're not talking about, you know, it's fluff and things or whatever, but you're talking about the real issues in life. You know, you're talking about the real things, you know, and these groups, we talked about it all. I mean, we talked about it all, which was great. Mm-hmm. You know, and we realized that we needed each other mm-hmm. in God to hold each other accountable and to encourage each other. I mean, how many times would we come in on a Tuesday night and begin to share, you know, hey, what did God share with you Monday? Mm-hmm. What did God share with mm-hmm. you last week? And, you know, this almost happened every week, but mm-hmm. someone would be going through something or something would be happening in their life. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my goodness, God shared this word with me last week.
Yeah, right.
And here you are. You had other men that were pulled out their journal of what God spoke to them. So mm-hmm. It's like, this is what God shared with, and you're hearing for yourself. And yet God gave you something not only that blessed you, just like he spoke to Joanne in the middle of the storm, mm-hmm. but it's something that would be able to help your brother. You know, the Bible says that, you know, we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. And you know, we need this relationship mm-hmm. with the Lord, but we need this relationship with each other.
And just like Proverbs says, you know, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Those are the biggest growing points, you know, in my walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Is when... You know, and I'm sure it's the same for women, you know, because you have to be able to glean from one another.
Right.
You know,
sure.
You can, mm-hmm. you can, what's the word? You know,
borrow the experience?
Borrow the experience, right.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I remember at that time, too, Chris, now tell me if I'm wrong or anything, but you didn't like crowds at that time. You weren't into crowds.
He wasn't into people.
I wasn't into people at all. But that and that's another testimony when you drug me to St. Petersburg.
Oh, look at this, Pat. We go down to Tropicana Stadium, I think it was, down in St. Pete to this mm-hmm. this huge men's gathering, thousands of men, you know, that just love God.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, okay, Chris. So he's like, oh, my goodness, you know, there's people everywhere, all these guys.
Yeah, right.
So I go down at the base on the bottom of the floor, stadium mm-hmm. floor. They have just resources and material and, you know, I'll go to a place like this, you know, and I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, give me all of it, you know.
Yeah, right.
And so I said, Chris, come on, we're going. He's like, no, come on, Chris, we're going. I drug him like all these flight of steps all the way through all these.
No, you didn't do that.
He did. It broke, didn't it?
It did.
Yep,
but gone. But that's what broke that fear off of me.
Mm-hmm.
It was going there and experiencing that, you know, with thousands of men in one place. And God just broke that fear off of me then.
Yeah, crying out to God and having a brother and brothers that are willing to stand with you
mm-hmm.
and to say, hey, look, we're going to get through this. You know what I'm saying? This is going to come off of you, not judge you, not whatever, but in the love of God saying, you know, you can mm-hmm. get past this. And that's why we need to develop authentic relationships. You know, just can't be coming into the church gathering and saying, hey, God bless you and what's up and get a, mm-hmm. you know, message and cheer. You know, there's a highlight on the torch called don't cheer me up. You know, lift me up. Don't mm-hmm. give me a rah-rah, sis-goomba, and I'm dying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm dying.
Right.
You know, my marriage is falling apart. My job is, you know, my children, all this type of stuff that people are going through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you can't come to get a lift me up, but we got to be able to carry each other's burdens. Well, listen, we're coming to the end of this, the first hour. We want to be able to continue this conversation because it's so encouraging. If you're joining with us, you won't be able to make us on the extra hour. Continue to watch us on the loop. And don't forget about VFN Marathon Weekend.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.